With that being said, moving on, I'm one of the first ones that have ever supported Echo in terms of expanding. So they were a 24-hour, because it broke my heart to see a family get pushed out at 7 in the morning on a 20-degree day. I support Echo completely. I think we have a secondary issue here, and I don't think it's expansion of the meals or expanding Echo. The secondary issue, and I have done it and I go a different way, is because when I go down that street with my daughter, it is just not anything I want to address right now on why people are hanging out in a car or standing in the medium or smoking or doing illegal things. I'm one of the ones that have called the police department, and I'm on record of things going on there. I think there's a separate issue. I'm not so sure it's the attraction of a meal, but other individuals possibly dealing drugs or doing other things there. And of course, because Echo's serving meals, it's an area close to the creek bed, has a large medium. We have a high school there, and it's not a safe area for our children, whether it's junior high, high school, or young kids, or even those that are unhoused at Echo. So I think we need to maybe come back to the drawing board a little bit and see what we can do to start cleaning that neighborhood up, and that may solve a lot of the problem, whether it's taking out the medium and making it parking or doing something different. There's got to be a way to kind of fish that out. But of course, if you push them from there, they'll go into another neighborhood, and that's not fair either. But as far as Echo's expansion, I think it should happen. And I don't think it really makes a difference in meals. I know when Kiwanis is down there, you're serving 80 Kiwanians and 50 homeless, but we won't get into that anyways. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Oslin. Welcome, next speaker.
Max Zappas, local developer broker. I live also right near St. William's Church, so I do see a lot of things firsthand. I just want to speak in favor of the project. I think about things from a housing perspective, and this is the lowest rung on the housing ladder. So I can't speak highly enough about it, and I encourage you to approve it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Zappas. Anyone else who is wishing to speak on this item, please come forward. I'm not seeing any. All right, we'll go ahead and close public comment. Turn off my microphone, apparently, and bring it back to council and staff. So let me see. The gentleman, Daniel, who is on Santa Ynez, he had asked about the no smoking policy. So is that, and perhaps, I don't know if either, Ms. Lewis, if you'd like to come forward, was that in the management plan or something specific? And then I know we've added that, which I actually thought was a benefit, so you don't have people out on the median, but could we speak to adding that versus it being in the plan that we're not having, that there is no smoking?
Can you repeat the first part? I'm sorry, I was saying goodbye to somebody.
So, that's okay. So one of our speakers brought up, he said, you know, hey, Mayor, you said that there was a smoking area, but there's a no smoking policy, which is in the plan. So how did that happen? That, I mean, I actually think it's been a good thing to have a smoking area, so it gets it out of the median to the extent that you can. But if that's something that's in the management plan, how did that come about?
Yeah, so it was in response to the smoking ordinance change that the city adopted, and I don't know how long ago, but it was actually working with past city manager to identify a space at Echo, because we didn't want to push all those people into the corridor. It was trying to, in response to bringing some of the people that were on the median onto our property that are in our programs and during the shower hours and meal program. So from that 4 to 6 time, it was in a response to try to be helpful. That would be something we could definitely take a look at.
Yeah. So, and I'm not saying needed to be taken a look at, other than maybe we just, that needs to be changed within the management plan here. But I'll let staff look for where that might be. So that was just a question.
And on the record, I wish we didn't need a smoking area anywhere in our community.
I get it. Yes. Let's see. And then are the meetings still held, the twice annual meetings?
So that was also, so during COVID, we just weren't able to meet. COVID definitely threw us, and then we started down this path. So in this new iteration, we started talking about what that would look like. And I think the language was when the city saw, I don't have it in front of me, so it was when the city deemed appropriate would, or the neighborhood or anybody would have an issue, they would bring it to the city and us, and then the city would call that meeting to order.
Okay, so when's the last time we actually had a meeting? Do we have that information?
It would have been the year heading into COVID. So like.
Okay, so it's 2019. Mm-hmm. So it's been 4 or 5 years since we've had a meeting. Okay, okay. So those are as needed, jogging my memory now. Okay. And then, let me see what else here. I'm noticing. Trying to think if there's something else that I needed to ask you. I don't think I have another question in here for you at the moment. Thank you. I will turn to our chief. We're in a difficult situation. We have, people, to say loitering doesn't really fully describe the situation that can go out on, it can be happening on that median. And, you know, whether it's because of Echo or it's near downtown or it's, we don't know. We can presume that some of it might be because of the open meal program. But what are the options for us moving forward? How do we figure out, because I really appreciate what Mr. Hayes said, it's like dealing with the most vulnerable, and some of those vulnerable include the school children, include the neighbors. We are not unmoved by what the neighbors have to say. So what are the options that are available without us expending resources that we don't have?
Well, Madam Mayor, thank you for that question. I'm actually quite optimistic that we might have more resources available to us. And I think one of the comments that kind of resonated with me was from Mr. Oslin, just indicated, that it's the way I interpret it anyways, is that we have a parallel but separate issue when it comes to the illegal activity that takes place in the proximity. And so some of the challenges that we have, and I'm not trying to get into politics, but we do have some laws on the books that have been on the books for years that have put us in the situations. And I was looking through the reports that I brought here today, and the one arrest that we actually made was because an individual had a warrant. And that person didn't have just a warrant. They had 15 local warrants. And what that means is that individual was arrested, was given a court date, didn't show up for it, was arrested, was given a court date, didn't show up for it. And these individuals are not being, for whatever reason, they're not being held at county jail. They're not being told that they have to go to court. They're just over and over and over again giving citations from your police department. So we're out there and we're working, but I think a lot of people ask me that question, well, why don't you go out there and just start arresting them? Well, we arrested them 15 times. So what I'm optimistic about is that recently we did have a change in the law, Proposition 36. I'm very optimistic that it's going to give us some more resources. And I'm also glad that we have some of the resources we already have. We had an ordinance that was just put in place for shopping carts. We just had an ordinance that's been put in place within the last year and a half for the camping ordinance. We have just set up, we have the hour team, which is incredibly helpful. To supplement the hour team, we just started another team called the Special Enforcement Team, because we realize that, yes, we do have an issue. If there are people who are addicted to drugs, that means that there are people who are getting their drugs. That means there are people who are dealing drugs. I'm not blind to this. So we can only help those who want to be helped. Obviously, drug dealers don't want help. They need special enforcement teams, and that's what we just started, and that is something that's very, very new within the last few weeks. So with the new Proposition 36 that just passed, which will make some of these, for those who don't know, if you have someone who prior to 2010, 2011, used to be a felony to be in possession of drugs, certain drugs, That turned into a misdemeanor, and then we ended up with what I just described here, 15 warrants for the same thing over and over again. Now we're changing that. Now if we're going with Proposition 36, one of the things that's going to allow us to do is somebody who has conviction after conviction after conviction, we can start to put them through court rehab diversion. So in other words, give them something else that they have to go through to hopefully get them that help, to get them onto that next step. I'm very optimistic this is going to help. It's going to help clean up the streets. It's also going to help the individuals who actually need the help. So we do have some resources. They're slow in coming, meaning these laws that will change and how we work out some of the bugs. The court's going to be able to handle this. Influx of new cases is the how are we going to handle the booking challenges that we have with the county jail and some of the tougher regulations that we have when it comes to getting somebody medically cleared to be booked. There are a lot of questions that we have to get answered. We're only a couple weeks past when that was passed. So we are going to get those answered. We always do. We always figure it out. To try to answer your question, I'm optimistic that we can, with the help of the special enforcement team, with the help of changing laws, we can enforce a lot more of these laws and make a difference so that we don't see something that we're seeing here with somebody who has 15 warrants on the books, that will go away. That's what I'm optimistic about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think, too, with the changes in the, with the camping and being able to enforce that, granted, I think we've done a better job than most all along, but we have more tools there. We still need to notice it, so you can't just move someone immediately, but we have more tools to deal with the camping situation as well as of really just recently.
We are definitely ahead of the curve when it comes to the resources and the ordinances that we have set in place. We're not going to be playing catch up. We have those resources set in place so that we will have something, the tools in our toolbox to actually do something with them.
Yeah, and you've been talking about the special enforcement team for quite some time, wanting to pull that together. So I'm glad that we've been able to do that.
Yes.
And thank you and your whole department and the team for pulling that together. Okay, do we have any other questions for staff or ECHO before we go into deliberations? No? Okay, well, let's start with Mayor Pro Tem Funk, then Councilmember Newsom, and then we'll go to Councilmember Darris.
Sure. My question for ECHO would be, would you be willing to resume annual meetings with that open to the neighborhood? In conjunction with some kind of event or something so that people know when it is, maybe, following the long walk home, maybe a neighborhood meeting or something of that sort.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're definitely, we looked at it when we were looking at the change. It was more of we weren't getting any of that feedback that we're hearing tonight, and we're encouraged now. And then also it was just a cost. There's a cost to it. And so looking at what that would look like for the city, we're definitely open to what would work best for everybody.
Great. Thank you.
My question. See if that works. Mine doesn't work now. Can you hear me?
It's
okay. I can't hear myself, so I can't tell if you can hear me. My questions were along the same line. As you know, my background has been in homelessness. We've talked about that. I've taught my daughter about the importance of giving and have been on the facility with her, which she feels at home. Thank you. But one of the things that I do feel sometimes as we sit back here and look at accountability, would you be open to considering a code of conduct for those that come on the facility to give them a sense of accountability, of contribution, and giving back for being successful not only for themselves, for those around them, so that they too realize that they are role models for anybody and everyone around them? We hear plenty of success stories, and they've spoken, and we are making a difference. And I think it would be important, too, to also follow what's listed on page 19. If there is a dispute resolution process for any neighborhood issues that may arise, we've done it in the past with other CUPs, is if things a check-in every 6 to 9 months, or if there's some things that can't be resolved, that perhaps with a community or a neighborhood meeting that you can come together and create a better solution, that it's not just your burden, it's everybody coming together to make a difference. Is that too much to ask?
Did you see I turned behind my shoulder? We at ECHO, we have a leadership team, and I definitely value their input, so that would be something that I would need to check in with them and just hear more about what your thought is and our processes. Is it that for our people in our program, in the residential program, or just in general? Because we do have that, in a sense, with people that are in the program, they are committing to providing, we don't use that term, the code of ethics or code of honor, but there is an established code to be a good part of ECHO and be there for ECHO and yourselves and others. So, yeah, I would just need to hear more and always open to looking at it.
There's no dispute that the family wing and that addition is doing wonders. It's not about that. It's about those that are being asked. The reason why they're in the median is meals. They are the unhoused. They are the ones that I talk to on Sunken Gardens bench of what's not working for them. And they will say that they come to ECHO, but it doesn't meet their needs. So they are doing some additional stuff in the public. And I think if they realize that somebody else was looking at them as a role model, perhaps they would look at themselves and go, wow, what can I do differently to have an impact on this community that wants to help me?
I also just want to add that one of the things that happens almost on a nightly basis at ECHO is that we do have rules on site. We do have requirements, a code of conduct, if you will, that we expect, you know, from our clients that are there on site. Our staff rarely has to enforce that. In fact, most of the time we are de-escalating clients that utilize and are thankful for that service from enforcing that on other clients. That is 99% of the issues that I have to resolve are talking to people like, I understand that this is an issue and that person shouldn't act that way, but let staff handle that. I know that you are thankful for the service and you don't want it to go away, but please notify staff so that we can handle that situation. Let us step in. You do not have to be responsible for handling that situation. So there absolutely is a code of conduct and a sense of respect from those, and not just those that are currently staying in the program and in the shelter, but those that are utilizing that nightly meal service in order to survive in our community.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Darris.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to touch a little bit on that as well. Yeah, it's funny. I can't tell if it's coming through it either. It's weird behind the speakers. To expand a little bit on what Councilmember Newsom was talking about, I call it behavior modification. This is the way I did with my kids. rather than doing the same thing over and over and wishing for different results, you know, if they're going to complain about what's for dinner, then they're going to go to bed hungry, and they're not going to do that anymore. So, and I know Wendy had mentioned earlier that I didn't realize that there's a law that says you cannot refuse service. But with repeat offenders doing things, I mean, we don't want to tell you to then have to turn people away. I mean, we're all compassionate people. We want to make sure that people get the help that they're needed. But when they're not being respectful of the neighbors, I mean, if any or all of us lived within a couple of blocks and was experienced this, as some of the people here have said, it would probably be easier for us to say that, say, no, this is not fair. So is there anything, are there incentives, positive incentives, that can be such that if you're violating, I mean, the rules extend beyond the property line, where if you're a repeat offender, if the police chief has to get his officers out there to address something that might be a couple of blocks away, but as a result of what was going on, you know, because of the meal program, and if this person is repeating, look, then you're just not going to be welcome there anymore. Is that something that can happen? And maybe that might mitigate some of the issues. They realize, look, we can't hang out in the neighborhoods or in the creek or wherever it is that's going to be, that's causing these problems. And I look at this as, you know, a behavior modification. Is, I don't have the answer specifically, but that's my concept is if we could do something like that.
I would say that we as an organization wouldn't be opposed to having more conversation about that. I don't know the legality around that, to be honest with you, but I'm happy to have more conversations about that and look at that. But I really do believe that Chief Suttles answered that question, that responsibility for that, that the engagement with that really falls when we're having those conversations and law enforcement is involved, that now we are building tools in place for our law enforcement through agreements that are beyond all of us, that really fall in the will of the voters, to have more conversations and engagement with folks that are constantly showing up, right? We shouldn't have someone with 15 warrants that hasn't showed up in that. And I do believe that there are solutions that are in place for when those things happen. And I encourage, I mean, we're happy to talk to things about Echo, but we should absolutely call the police when an incident happens off-site, right? And our staff will, even if we see something that's happening down the street, we will be the first ones to call, right? But we, in that engagement and that conversation, we do rely on our partners in the police department to engage in a conversation with something that is happening beyond our property and our perimeter.
Right, and with the original CUP, I guess it was a CUP, 2014, I was probably on the Planning Commission when this went through, and then now the addition of 20 additional meals, is there a plan, is there an expanded plan that addresses this rather than just saying, well, we're going to allow you to feed 20 additional people? I mean, is there a plan? I know we've probably talked this already through more than we probably hit it already, but I mean, is there more, is there just the expansion of the meals, or is there an actual plan to address this? Is it in there somewhere written that you will do something?
Well, at the end of the day, the expansion to the meal program directly correlates with the expansion of our project as a whole. It's not separate. It's really, we're adding 30 additional beds and trying to grow that meal program to the number that we truly believe affects that. There's a reason that we're not here standing asking for 120, 150 to 200. There's a reason that we're coming, and we're very mindful with that, with the impact to the community and with our growth of expansion. Our goal is to add 30 beds to our continuum of care in an efficient and an effective way. And in order to do that and to be efficient and to continue to serve at the level that we are currently serving, not more, we believe that that number is that 20 additional, so that we have the space and capacity to serve everyone that comes for a meal for that.
Yeah, and I think the building expansion, I think we're all, well, I'm not going to speak for the rest, but I'm in favor of the building. I think what you guys are doing there is great. Everything you've done over the past several years, you get better every year. But there is some serious, some concern, with the loitering and whatnot. And, if we can work together with the police department, and then if there's some rules that can expand beyond the property line.
I don't think there's an answer tonight,
yeah.
But I mean, okay. We're hearing
but
what
that's where I think it needs to be discussed.
Capture that into our conversation.
Yeah. But one thing with when he asked, is there a plan, and that the key component is adding additional staff to have more oversight, to have more of during that time with the 20 additional people when they eventually show up, to have more oversight. And that's the same with the additional 30 beds, the same thing. Staffing is key. As Echo has evolved and added more services, having staff and an increased level of staff, not leaving our incredible volunteers. We need you volunteers, but it's really having staff, more staff at a higher trained level.
All right, thank you.
Did you have questions?
Well, Councilmember Dare has mostly asked my question. And you, Mayor, just addressed that we're going to solve that tonight, but that's what concerns me is that, everybody is super impressed with what Echo accomplishes and also that you do it very efficiently compared to other like organizations. And so it's amazing what you accomplish. Our problem is if you're in a neighbor who's being trespassed upon, having property stolen, et cetera, litter, et cetera. I haven't heard any solutions from anybody for them. And so I guess I would ask you, what are the solutions? And I'm concerned that we haven't even really gotten together them because we limited the notification. So we have a few actively involved neighbors who've heard about it and been involved. But I haven't heard any solutions for those neighbors. And expanding it is just for them is more of the same. And so I guess I'm asking, do we have any solutions? The chief outlined a few things, a hopeful you know, changes as a result of Prop 36 that might allow to help get some, you know, rid of some bad actors. You actually get them arrested and put in jail for a little bit, et cetera, that might change a behavior pattern. But my concern is I'm just not hearing anything that helps out the neighbors. And let's face it, I mean, I volunteer occasionally, not near as much as the mayor and Kiwanis feeding. And that's great that we have so many great community members that do that. But we don't typically live with the problem. They do, you know, this neighborhood. And by having everything we deal with homelessness in our entire city in one spot, we are putting basically, outside of a few folks that live in the riverbed, we're putting 90% of our city's, our community's problem on one neighborhood. And I haven't heard any solutions for them. And I don't know if you have any.
So I want to point out to Echo's history, right? When Echo originally started, we had individuals and families that came into that program and left every single morning onto the street and into that community. We have learned and we heard that community feedback, not just from our neighbors, but also from those that we were serving, how to better our services. We evolved and created the 90-day program. We heard about the concerns from the community about the encampments, and we worked with the City Council and the Atascadero Police Department to engage in outreach and create the R team and have a case manager that is responsible for going out and engaging in those services. We have added campus monitors. We have continued to change our shower programs, even recently with this addition, learning from the feedback from the community and solidifying those times to better work with the community. And it is our absolute promise and commitment with all of the things that Echo has done to keep evolving, to keep getting better, and to add solutions. I do think, commenting to Chief Suttles again in the points that he makes, that there are potential solutions and things coming. We are not perfect. This is not Disneyland, as I was called in the Planning Commission representing. But we do have an incredible impact, and we are willing to change, to adapt, to be flexible, to evolve, and to be better. I think that we truly have done that. I do believe that the concerns that some of the communities, not all, that some of the community members have brought up, we have addressed over the course of the past 10 years, and we will continue to do so as an organization into the future. There may not be that answer tonight, but that doesn't mean that we will not keep looking, hearing, receiving that feedback, and understanding. And I think our board member said it very well. Yet. That is the key. We are always looking to continue to move forward to better our services for our community as a whole, not just those we're serving, but our neighbors, those we're serving, our volunteers, and everyone in this beautiful city. Yeah.
Thank you, and I agree. I mean, it didn't make any sense to send everybody out the door at 7 in the morning, like Mr. Oslin said. It makes much more sense to continue to provide additional services on site, because I think even with the non-sheltered resident, I mean, the non-sheltered folks at the meal serve, they behave well, as you described, during the meal service. It's what they do outside of it that's, of course, concerned. So everything you guys do is wonderful, you know, and it's amazing what you accomplish. The concern is what happens outside. And I don't know if you can have a solution for that, let alone tonight, but I don't know if you can, but I feel like we have to have more of that conversation. So, because also I don't know that we've, you know, effectively involved the school district and the two church-related schools across the street. So, thank you.
Okay. So what I would like to, I want to ask a question, and then I would like to propose something. Would it be amenable, since what you're saying is that the additional 20 meals are needed for the expansion of the shelter, if we were to link the expansion of the meal program to the expansion of the shelter, would that be workable? Because that tells that lets the community know, like, no, we're not trying to bring in more people from the creek and announce it and put up flyers and have more people come in. This is truly for future residents.
Yeah, would that be approved tonight so that when the new beds and things come online, then that would be something we could start at that time?
That's what I was asking. I'm assuming I would ask our director or planning manager, would that be a viable thing to do, would be to link the tonight if we had consensus to expand the meal program, but say only when the beds are expanded so that to to allay any concerns that we're increasing the number of unhoused individuals, creating, exacerbating a neighborhood problem, that it truly is for the residents of Echo. Could we tonight, if we wanted to, say yes, increase to 100 beds once the shelter beds have increased?
Yes. In fact, the resolution and the recommendations here have a set of conditions of approval in addition to the amendments that are being proposed, and you could add it into those conditions of approval.
Okay. So that would be acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have a question for them. Now, when is it anticipated that the expansion would be completed?
So that's one of the, I think, exciting things about this project is that because it's a modular build, which to me, modular, when I first heard it, meant, you know, my mobile home that I have at the lake for, you know, that lake's time. No, it looks like a building. It looks like a beautiful, fits in. It speeds up the process. So we would be looking at actually a ribbon cutting to move people in about 22 to 24 months.
And speaking to that, Mr. Zappas Sr., you know, had brought up, you know, getting state money and expanding. If you look at something the county has been trying to do with the Welcome Home Project with tens of millions of dollars in grant money starting out to, you know, potentially house 80 people, and that number keeps getting cut and cut and cut. So as much as the state says, hey, here's some money for you to go out and do a new shiny project, it rarely pencils out in the favor of what you're trying to do, let alone the ongoing operation. So I understand, well, I can't really say I understand. I'm hearing what you're saying, and Ms. Deku, when you spoke, like, I can't imagine that. I don't have that happening at my house. Mr. Sanders, like, that is not my reality, so it's hard for me to even fathom what that is like. And I have compassion for you, and it's hard because where is the right place? When we've had other warming centers, it ends up in another neighborhood, and there are impacts there. And so the challenge is, well, what do you do? Do you 3 miles out where there are no services? No, that doesn't work. So there is no great option. And I think what we need to do is do the best we can with what we have and implementing the things that the chief is talking about, getting back to the regular neighborhood meetings, because when Mr. Sanders, when you say we were never heard, that's not it, whether someone feels that that's the case or not, it's not that you feel that way isn't good. And we need to be having those conversations with you, with Echo, with the police department. Now that we have so many more tools, we need to be pulling this together. And so what I would like to say tonight, if my colleagues are amenable, I think from what we're hearing from 99% of the public and what we're hearing tonight is the expansion of the beds, I could say we're all on board with. Am I hearing the beds okay? I would like to propose that we would approve the expansion of the meal program, but only linked to the addition of the new beds so that it is for residents coming in. Would that be acceptable? So Councilmember Borbosa, no on that. Councilmember Newsom, Mayor Pro Tem would be okay with that.
I'd like to elaborate why, though. I mean, and that is simple, and the reason I just asked the question, you know, I think we're all very excited, actually, about, you know, the increase in the physical building and the overnight capacity, but that's not going to happen for 24 months.
Right.
Why are we in a rush to approve an increase in the meal program?
What I'm saying is link it to 2 years down the line.
I understand, but I mean, I would look at, I still think it, you know, might be beneficial to separate that. I don't think we've had adequate input from the schools, you know, or adequate input from the neighborhood, and that we don't need to rush that because it's 24 months before this is really an issue. And so I think that we need to have a further discussion, you know, with the larger neighborhood and the specifically affected institutions. And as I indicated, I don't, you know, expect ECHO to have magical solutions for this stuff, or nor the police, nor us. But I think we need to talk a little bit more about, okay, what if anything can we do to affect?
I don't disagree, and those that needs to be a part of what we're talking about. And certainly, if you all want to do this in 2 years and go through all of this again, my point in this is that if you're going to increase beds and you don't increase meals, then you are reducing the services ultimately. And so if that's what you think you might be doing in 2 years, then don't do it. My thought was, do that now because you save efficiency later. And if we're linking it to the beds, there is no concern that you're going to exacerbate the problem currently.
Well, but that math doesn't add up.
Hold on. Councilmember Newsom, followed by Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
I think the challenge that we're up against is that others have come to us and asked us to cancel the meal program for those outside of residents. We understand the value of the service you do, and what we're doing here is saying, okay, out of the numbers you've given us, 60% are for people that are unhoused in the facility. We know that some of the police calls are coming from those waiting for meals in the median. So now we're at this challenge of going, okay, your expansion's going to serve as it has a purpose, and people are going to do drug testing, and they are going to be successful because of the tools you provide. But the meal program, our residents and our neighbors, and being a former resident in that neighborhood, have had crack pipes in my front yard. So as we stand here and we represent those neighbors and not having a solution, knowing that 60% of the meals are being used for those that don't respect the conduct in which you have for your residents is not fair to that community too, but we don't have enough tools, nor did we do enough noticing at 300 feet and Miss Saint, the church behind. We haven't gotten the community's feedback on how do we address that. And with those that were notified and we fill the seats, what would have happened if we would have reached out to everybody in the community of how do we solve that? So as I sit here and listen to Councilmember Rabot as well, I'm challenged with the issues the neighborhood is facing on the meals, not on the expansion of the facility.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
Yeah, the fundamental challenge here is, you know, we recognize that there's this deep need for more pathways back into housing for people with young children, who, you know, families with kids who are unhoused, and we all see that the need and the power of the ECHO program in providing healing and getting folks back into the community. If we add those beds, which we all recognize we need, they got to eat. We can't not feed them. So it was what we're in a situation, we're suddenly being asked as a council to abruptly require ECHO to plan to reduce its meal program to folks who are unhoused because they have come to us asking to get more people into shelter. And I think that if there's additional looking at the meal program, that we should have a regular review as a council. The ECHO operating plan, updates are supposed to be forwarded to the council for review at a public hearing. Good chance, to have that conversation, but we should plan to feed the people that are going to be housed at ECHO. And we should have a separate conversation about the full range of things that need to happen in terms of managing the impact of homelessness on our neighborhoods, of drug use on our neighborhoods. We can't, realistically, when people are on foot, they are going to be congregating in places where services are available And if they don't have transportation, and if they don't have refrigeration, and they can't cook, they're going to go to places where they can eat, whether that's in neighborhoods where you've got, they don't stay out in Pozo because nobody serves Happy Meals out there. there's no dollar meals anywhere, that you can purchase, let alone a program like ECHO with more comprehensive services. So we can't... those folks who are unhoused and unsheltered will congregate in places that have where they can find services. And what we have to do is manage, that's not ECHO's fault. We have to manage the impact on our community of this crisis, the twin crises we face in homelessness and drug addiction. As we're going to have homeless folks in our community to deal with as long as, to some extent, as long as housing is really expensive and hard to get and incomes are not up to that muster, and as long as fentanyl is cheap and drug treatment is hard to get. We're going to really have to work at managing that. That's a separate conversation from if we expand, we got to feed the people, got to eat, who come to the shelter, and we should allow for that.
Councilmember Darris.
Thanks. I wanted to expand a little bit on what Charles was saying, and I understand, if I understand what he was saying, the expansion isn't going to be completed for almost 2 years. Okay, so tying the additional meals to that isn't going to happen for 2 years. So in the meantime, I think it is important to have additional conversations with the school and the neighbors and people around. I think we have that time. What was already established is that you're, on average, it's not critical. We're not at a critical juncture where you're turning people away on a regular basis, and so you need to be able to serve 20 additional people, 20 additional meals. You're at roughly 65. I know you said it goes up and down, and sometimes maybe occasionally you do hit the 80. But I think we have time, if we approve the expansion to the building, we have time to then maybe develop a plan on how the loitering and the other issues can be addressed and taken care of without expanding the meal program immediately. I mean, I believe that's what Charles
let me repeat. What I'm saying is not to expand the meal program immediately. What I'm saying is let's put into our motion tonight that if we approve the expansion of the beds, that when the ribbon is cut and people are now sleeping in those beds, the meal program will automatically expand by that 20.
Okay, so
that's what Mayor Pro Tem Funk and I are trying to say.
I think, as I indicated earlier, I don't think the neighbors have a problem with feeding however many people are residing overnight in the ECHO facility. Their problem is the number of people who don't reside there.
Correct.
I don't follow the resistance, the idea of, ultimately when the expansion is done, you can feed however many people live there. There should be a separate number of how many non-residents will be fed. If we were if we didn't have a great facility and program like ECHO, and we were just adopting a meal program, as some other cities have done, because we're one of the few that has continuously had a shelter, they would look at that number separately. How many people can you feed in a meal program? I don't think that's unreasonable. I'm not saying, if we don't adopt this today, then 24 months from now, we're not going to feed the people that live there. That doesn't follow with me. I think that we didn't do a good job of notification. We need to have, perhaps facilitated by our staff, a meeting with a broader cross-section of the neighborhood, the schools, et cetera, to talk about this issue and talk about what, if any, solutions can we have for the neighbors.
And I don't disagree on that. I think all five of us say that those conversations need to take place. They need to take place regularly. We need to have a good number of people involved in that. we're simply talking about, do you want to link the 20 for 2 years down the line, or do you, and achieve some efficiencies, or no? If the answer is no, then you'll all come back and do this in 2 years again. My idea was we save some time in the future, but and that doesn't mean that we're not having those conversations starting as soon as possible.
I'm trying to ensure that we do have that conversation.
We will have that conversation.
Because if we approve it tonight,
yes, we will have that
conversation. Things will go on their merry path.
No,
and
I disagree. I don't think that's true.
That's kind of what we've done in the past. So I would disagree. I would rather do a motion that we approve the facility, we approve the change in the shower hours, and we defer change in the number of meals served until a better meeting is facilitated and discuss, you know, possible solutions and then come up with a meal number. That's what I would prefer to do. But I think, of course, we're all on board on the facility and we're very excited about improving the facility.
I did want...
Let's have one more comment and then let's pull this to a close. As I said, we've got many more items and this is not going to be a short night.
Right. I wanted to respond briefly to Councilmember Verbeau's comment that we're among the few that are expanding shelter. To briefly note that additional beds were expanded in Paso Robles twice, both with the addition of the welcome home, of the addition of the Motel 6 and Echo Paso project, and also additional beds that were funded by the county to there. 40 Prado has expanded beds. I'm sure that Ms. Steinberg can confirm that, expanding their programs. Additional shelter units were added in two different projects in the five cities that are managed by Five Cities Homeless Coalition in South County, 20 beds, cabins for change, and 30 additional units on Barque. So there is an effort throughout this county for communities to step up and do their part to get us away from the situation where just a few years ago, on any given night, we had only enough shelter beds to handle 20% of the people who are in town.
If I may interrupt, I don't think anyone disagrees with what you're saying. I'm going to, because I'm not going to be the one here doing this in 2 years. What I would like to do is be able to say, link this in 2 years, and then require in the interim that we have a process to put in place to have these discussions that every single one of us are concerned about and see what can be done to mitigate. And if the problem is getting worse, then maybe we cut that and we say, I mean, this can always be changed in the future if things are getting worse, so and we're not and we're not getting the traction and change that needs to be done.
So if you're suggesting that we as long as I think it's very clearly understood that that we will have a session with the interested parties, stakeholders, if you will, and that out of that may come something different than that number. But obviously going forward, our expectation is, we will feed the additional people who stay overnight, or Echo will certainly be allowed to feed the additional people who stay overnight. Rep. Tom Funk, I was just pointing out that yes, everything you said is totally accurate. We're one of the few cities that has always had a shelter for 20, or many, many years. For a long, long time, it was just us and San Luis Obispo that had an overnight shelter. So our community has done great work in trying to address homelessness.
Okay. So then what I'm hearing is, pulling this all together, what I'm wondering is how precise does this language need to be tonight for this motion we are going to make?
It all depends on the final motion and what you're making, whether you're going to postpone action on the use permit or if you're going to condition the use permit. Having a little trouble hearing, I think, the conversation after the speaker was turned, so I'm not quite sure where the latest action is headed.
Right. So what we're looking at is, number one would be linking any expansion in meals not until the opening of the new beds, and we've expanded residents, so we need to expand meals. So that would be one thing. The other is, and And I don't want to sit here and make the sausage tonight that, oh, we have to meet four times a year, or we're meeting twice a year. We got to figure out what that is, because we could say once a year and it doesn't end up being nearly enough, or we're saying we're meeting monthly and everyone's like, why the heck are we meeting monthly? So could you give me an idea of what we can say tonight that says exactly, particularly what Councilmember Bourbeau and Councilmember Newsom have been saying, but that we're all concerned about? How do we address these concerns? How do we assure we're having meetings to do this? What needs to go into a motion tonight, or is it simply direction that this council will make sure we hold ourselves accountable to?
I'm going to ask the city attorney to fill you in a little bit, because that you will give a legal right tonight when you approve this for certain things to occur. If there are meetings that happen or don't happen, can you trigger it to have that right removed? That's really challenging, because that would require perhaps a different hearing. So I'm asking the city attorney to fill in on a few things.
And, if everybody,
and there's some timing issues as well.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Luke is going to be working on that. Actually,
I'll make sure the new sound system gets prioritized at the next staff meeting.
I think this actually sounds really good as of right now. So.
Yeah.
Really woohoo. Mm-hmm. All right. City attorney.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. I think the wrinkle in this, as I'm looking at it, is the existence of a conditional use permit and a request to amend the conditional use permit to add these additional meals. The wrinkle with that is that application is subject to the Permit Streamlining Act, so the applicant has a particular right to have the matter decided within a particular period of time. Mm-hmm. So if the council's decision is to condition the expansion of the meals on the expansion of the beds, I believe we can, and I have drafted some suggested language to put into the conditions of approval to do that. And I recommend that you try to do that specifically tonight, because as the city manager indicated, the CUP is a land use right that's going to run with the land. The council's option, the city's option, is to call it up for modification or revocation if those conditions aren't working in the future. So we can add language about the effective date. We can add language about the potential meetings with the community. And if the council or the staff believe that those conditions aren't being complied with, like there hasn't been a meeting or there isn't going to be enough meetings, we can call the CUP back for modification, and that's your ability to have some enforceability over your intent that all these parties get together and meet and come up with a solution before this other expansion takes effect. So I would suggest that we, if that's the direction you're going, I would suggest that we, that I read into the record at some point some changes to the language and the conditions of approval, which would be in attachment 2A. And I think that would solve the problem. If the council is intending to defer action on the expansion of the meal program, I think the council's, unless it's a short-term deferral, I think the council's option is to deny the requested CUP, and then at some point in the future, we call it denial without prejudice, meaning they can refile the application. So the denial would be the way to go if the council is going to say, let's wait and see 2 years down the road. Those are the two options I can think of.
And could you tell me what the language would be that you would read into the CUP if we decided to go that route tonight? How would you condition that?
I would, and always looking to staff to help improve this, but my suggestion would be in condition 6, which is on page 25 of 200. That's the condition that right now in red shows that the 80 meals is increasing to 100. At the end of 100 persons, I would put a comma and say, effective upon the city's issuance of a certificate of occupancy for the expansion of the existing emergency shelter. So once that C of O is issued for that construction project, that's when the additional 20 meals would kick in. And then the other proposal would be to add a condition that says, prior to the expansion of the meal program, the applicant, city staff, Police Department shall hold at least one community meeting with affected neighbors. And that could be, we could add to that what you want discussed at that meeting.
Okay, and then potentially from there could be annual meetings or however often, because to have not met since COVID, and I get that maybe things that we thought were going well and they were and improving, but then neighbors also thinking, well, we're not listened to. And so then you end up in a situation where we as a council think, well, everything's going pretty well. And then we find out that, you know, yes and no. So would it be that one meeting and then more to follow, annual meetings? Do we put that maybe into the management plan? How do we proceed?
Well, I think city manager should weigh in on this, but I think your direction to the manager about how much interaction should occur is going to be the best way to move forward with that.
I would suggest you handle the... You're right. This is hard to hear.
I would suggest you handle the CUP first, as the city attorney has agreed. And I think then you provide a secondary motion unrelated to the land use that you direct the staff to work with ECHO on a meaningful public engagement plan, and that we report on that plan prior to the building permit being issued. Then there's a very strict timeline. It puts it back on ECHO, because if they haven't reminded me that we need to do that prior to the building permit, I'm going to come to you with a CUP amendment and saying, hey, and it puts the burden back on them to actually do this work with the neighborhood and come up with some plans. So that'd be a second motion not related to the CUP would be my recommendation.
Okay.
I have a technical question for the attorney. On page 19 of the packet, in the operating standards for ECHO, it does specify that we should hold at least one, item 7, hold at least one neighborhood meeting each calendar year. That's already in the management plan here, or the standards. Should that be placed into the CUP for greater accountability?
I think adding it to the CUP is a way to have the council feel that you've got more accountability on that issue.
Okay.
Because then that permit is at risk if that interaction doesn't occur.
Okay. I'd be game to add that to the motion.
Okay.
And I'm happy to make the motion.
Okay, hold it. Councilmember, you're good? Are we...
She asked my question. We're good.
Okay. Any other thoughts as we pull this together?
I have a technical question for the city attorney. So once granted, if it's granted in the language tonight, what Mr. Lewis discussed would be outside the CUP, but would be direction to staff to do this. But that doesn't govern a CUP. I mean, I just tell staff you need to ensure that some meeting occurs prior to the issuance of the occupancy permit.
I can answer that. No, it wouldn't. But what you're doing is you're putting a trigger on the staff that if certain things haven't occurred by the time the building permit is pulled, I'm coming back to the council saying, this hasn't occurred. Do you want to amend the CUP?
Okay, so that answers my question. You could go back. Okay, thank you, and amend the CUP if it were
revoked.
That would be a drastic action.
The CUP could be revoked. Those are the two options that the council has.
Yeah. So also, just without us trying to get specific on things, I'm hoping that we can just amend the language so that the smoking program, if it says there's no smoking on site, we get rid of that and just make sure that's consistent with what's actually happening. So I'll look at Director Dunsmore. Is that...
And there's already some guidelines in the operations and management plan that prohibit on-site use of tobacco or smoking or all related products. And are you referring to on-site or just off-site as well?
I'm referring to now they have an on-site smoking area, which I think is actually helps to clean up. It's better to have on-site smoking than median smoking. So that needs to come out of the management plan, or perhaps you put into the management plan, there is a smoking. So that is actually better. So that needs to be consistent. And can we just, Mr. Attorney, pass that tonight and say, make this consistent with what's happening now, or do we need to have specific language with regards to a smoking area at the campus?
I think that staff has heard the direction on that issue, and that can just be a direction to staff.
Right. And then making sure the shower language is changed to reflect what Echo has talked about with the timing in terms of, you know, not earlier than, and I'm assuming that would go into the management plan, but, you know, no earlier than 4 p.m. on school days and that type of thing. I'm thinking also changing the number of overnight staffing required by whatever the number would be, because you're saying that, yes, when you add people, you will change that number, a number of staffing, correct?
It's my understanding it's already in there.
Or is it just
it's
one per 30?
It's a 1-30 ratio.
Yes.
But that's,
so if you had 80...
One to 30.
So if you had 80, would you have three then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so anything over. All right.